One of the moments I'd do over in my life if I could is this. Patrick, my 4-year-old son, was trying to wake me up at 10:30 one weekend night. Merrill had called family prayers, and we were all to assemble upstairs in the living room. One of his older children had tried to rouse me from sleep. When that failed, he sent Patrick. "Mother, Father wants you to come pray," Patrick said. I rolled over and said that I was too tired. My latest baby, Merrily, was only a few weeks old, and I still had not recovered from her birth. I was sick from exhaustion and told Patrick I could not get out of bed to pray. There had been a period of relative stability in our home after Merrill's heart attack. Barbara continued to cause problems for the 5 other wives, but we were making a determined effort not to engage with her in hopes of minimizing stress at home while Merrill recuperated. After a few weeks, this strategy seemed to set Barbara off. She thrived on tension and on reporting on our shortcomings to Merrill. When Patrick returned to the living room, he told Merrill that I was too tired to come to prayers. Barbara became enraged. The family was on their knees in the living room. My refusal to come caused something of a commotion. Patrick remembered Merrill saying something to Barbara, who then came over and asked him to follow her. He thought they were going to my room, but she took him to a room across the hall and shut the door. Barbara began drilling Patrick with question after question about me. He tried to answer her questions, but she still slapped him. He started crying, which infuriated her even more. Then she picked him up and threw him several feet across the floor. He was shaking visibly when Barbara came and grabbed him and threw him into the metal bars at the foot of the bed. The first blow knocked the air out of him, and he said it was hard to breathe. She slammed him into the bed again and again. He was crumpled in a heap. When he made an effort to stand, Barbara, who weighed nearly 200 pounds, kicked him in the stomach. Patrick was not unconscious, but he couldn't breathe at all for a few frightening moments. Patrick was too afraid to awaken me or tell me about the attack the next morning. It would take 9 years before he was able to speak about what happened. 9 years. The next morning, I was getting Patrick ready for his bath. I saw bruises all over his back, bottom, and legs. "Patrick, what happened to you? Who did this to you?" Patrick's face went white with fear.
"Nothing, Mama. Nothing happened to me."
I knew he was lying. I could see how traumatized he was, but I didn't want to push him into telling me the truth. I thought someone might have hurt him while I had been at work. There were few options, all bad. If I went to Merrill and complained, he would scold me and say nothing had happened. I did not want to get trapped into playing someone's sick game. My child was hurt, and if I told Merrill and he didn't believe me, my child could be hurt again, perhaps even more, in retaliation for my protest. I couldn't go to the police. The community police were all members of the FLDS. They would never investigate. I could report the abuse to state child protection agencies in Utah or Arizona, but they had poor track records of protecting women and children in Colorado City. Victims routinely got sent back to perpetrators. I decided my preschoolers were never staying at home again alone when I wasn't there. Though my children could see how upset I was that morning, I told them it was a special day. We were going to breakfast and then to see their grandmother. I would buy them some new books and papers because from now on, they'd be coming to work with me. Over the next few months, I never let my children out of my sight. I stopped taking them to family meals and fed them in my bedroom. I told my mother that I had found bruises on Patrick's body and that I didn't feel my children were safe in Merrill's family. She began sending food home with me that I could keep in my bedroom. Barbara began to notice that she had lost power over me and my children. She rarely saw us on weekends when she came home with Merrill. I was deliberately doing nothing to provoke conflict. So I was not surprised when she asked to see the records of my business. Merrill insisted that I report to Barbara and explain what I was doing with my small website design business I had started. Barbara was a master manipulator, but she was utterly clueless when it came to business. I told Merrill I'd be happy to oblige, and copied all my files onto a disk and brought it home to be downloaded into another computer. I knew that Barbara would not be able to even turn on the computer, let alone download something to her hard drive or navigate the financial programs. Merrill said I had to provide handwritten records. I told him that was impossible, and offered to show Barbara how to operate the computer, knowing she'd be incapable.